Hello and welcome. I'm Veronica Scares-Brick. Thanks for joining me. Last week, to mark the day the church dedicates to consecrated life, I shared with you a conversation with a Benedictine, the abbot of St. Paul's Outside the Walls, Edmund Power. This week, I'd like to follow up on that interview by speaking to another Benedictine, this time a consecrated woman, an abbess, who draws inspiration not just from St. Benedict, but also from St. Scholastica, whose feast day falls on February the 10th each year. Stay tuned. Is there any Benedictine woman who inspires you in particular?
Scholastica.
So Benedict's sister?
Twin sister, yes. Pope Gregory shows how she was stronger than him because she loved more. And I think that is a message from a woman for us women today, which is very inspiring.
The voice of the abbess in question, Moira Hickey, superior of a Benedictine monastery in Germany, dedicated to Saint Scholastica. Abbess Moira highlights there the figure of Scholastica as a model of love. But she also highlights the key role of the saint's twin brother, Benedict, and indeed his rule in guiding the daily life of her community. Although clearly a few things might just need chucking out after a millennium and a half.
There's hardly anything I would throw out. There are some things about accepting children into the monastery, 5 years of age. Parents did sometimes bring very young children into the monastery. They were brought up to become monks or nuns later on. I wouldn't do that anymore. And there are recommendations about corporal punishment for these children if they are not behaving.
Leaving the negative aspects aside, Abbess Moira also touched on the areas of the rule she deems most significant, those where Benedict focuses on spiritual teaching. And on my request, she spoke about the liturgy and prayer life of her community. Benedict was very strong on the liturgy, you know? There's a reassuring ritual to your day.
That's right. He did say, come together 7 times a day to praise God. And that in your everyday life, nothing is more important than this. Everything, you drop everything and go into church when the bell rings. Every monastery has time every day for reading the Bible or other spiritual books in order to have to feed one's mind with the story of the Bible, story of salvation and God's love for the world, so that our relationship to him is growing all the time with many ups and downs. But that occupies a large part of our time every day. It's different in every monastery. In our monastery, it's about 4.5 hours a day.
You make a monastic profession now, where you mention words like stability, conversion, and obedience. May I ask you a personal question? Which was the most difficult to accept?
The most difficult one for me at the time when I made it was obedience.
How old were you?
Oh, I wasn't young. I was 38. And I had got used to being independent and making my own choices, and it was quite clear to me that that would be very limited and different, and I didn't know how I was going to be able to cope with that.
So which was the easiest then to live out?
I suppose conversion. Yes, I suppose that was the most attractive one in a way, because it was, in the word itself, conversion, it promises transformation and growing to fulfillment. I was very much drawn to that. But it is just as demanding from day to day.
That's the vocation that brings you to the conversion. No? I would be attracted by the stability.
Yes. At the time when I joined the monastery, I had enjoyed travelling around quite a lot. And I wasn't very keen on giving that up. But I realised I was going to have to. I think nowadays life has got so mobile that people feel the need for stability even more than they did 35 years ago, 30 years ago when I joined the monastery. I noticed that from many people who come, that they they are mobile more than they can bear a lot of the time.
How much contact do you have with the outside world in your monastery? I mean, real contact.
In my own monastery? Well, we live at the edge of a small town in North Germany. We have a guest house, about 25, 26 rooms. They're nearly always full of people, mostly Catholics, but not by any means all. Very many Protestants and very many people who are Christian but haven't found a satisfying way of practicing and are looking for a way of practicing.
Benedict's rule begins with the words, listen, no?
The people share with you their own lives.
Lots of time every day listening to people talking. We have, a little bit apart from the guest house, a shelter for people who have nowhere to go, and there are usually at least three or four homeless people or people who have lost what they have or run into difficult times staying there. There's two sisters who are responsible for them, and they are sharing with them all the time. People from the town come very often, troubles they have and problems. Oh, there's no escape from all of that. We wouldn't want to. And we all have our families, and every family has its share of reality. And
you share your family lives within the community?
Much more than we used to. They're all very welcome to visit us.
Pope Benedict says we should all do is think positive, in a sense, in our faith, no?
I think so.
Think in joyful terms.
Yes. I think so. We're aware of the problems very much, but we are, I think, just rejoicing in Christian life, and as Pope Benedict has been telling us to contemplate the beauty of God, and I think that is getting across to us. I think many Europeans of my generation have been so educated to be critical, to think before one says yes to anything, to put a lot of energy into picking it apart and criticizing it. And I think we have been realizing that it's good to learn how to do that, but one spends one life using up a lot of energy in something that is negative, and rejoicing in the positive things and rejoicing in life and God and what He is doing for us.
Our thanks there go to Abbess Myra Hickey, Superior of the Abbey of St. Scholastica at Dinklage in Germany. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.